It's Wednesday, which means it's time to talk our state's history.
I've sent the following wire to President Truman. My heartiest congratulations to you on your election.
I'm aware of my blackness, but I don't go around and look and see whether I'm different than someone else.
Fail a lot quickly, and then eventually you'll succeed.
I worry that the person who thought up Muzak may be thinking up something else.
With groundbreaking this week on the Gordie Howe International Bridge between Windsor and Detroit, we felt it was the perfect time to mark the 80th anniversary of the last passenger ferry to cross the Detroit River. With me now is Detroit historian and blogger Mickey Lyons. Welcome, Mickey.
Thank you.
And we're happy to say hello again to state archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. Hey, Mark.
Hello.
So it seems quite obvious that Native Americans living around the Straits of Detroit probably took a canoe back and forth without really a lot of thought of bureaucratic hassle. But then French colonists arrived and there was probably some enterprising person who thought, hey, wait a minute, I can make some money taking people across the river. Mark, do we have any idea when passenger ferry started? Was there a quote unquote Jacques River Express?
We do have some good clues. I think it's really fascinating, though, that Cadillac had at least 15 bargemen with him in Detroit as of 1705. Now, those weren't ferrymen, but I just thought it was really fascinating that there were at least 15 people with the title bargemen in 1705 in Detroit. The first mention of a ferry service I could find in a written account was on the Windsor side, and parenthetically, Windsor sometimes is translated loosely as the place of the ferry, which I didn't know, which is sort of interesting. There are two written accounts of a regular ferry service offered as of 1829. Let's put air quotes around ferry. One was from Pierre Saint-Amour, and his ferry was dubbed Log Canoe No. 1. And the other was by Francois Labelaine, not surprisingly, ran Log Canoe No. 2.
Well, that was very practical.
Yeah. And Mrs. Labelaine is noted in this text as having a unique method of letting Francois know when passengers were waiting for him. She had tied a large 4-foot tin horn to her door, and she blew it whenever passengers arrived and he was needed to transport them.
I love it. Mickey, follow this for a minute. Detroit goes from French control to British control to American control, back to the British, and then finally back to American control after the War of 1812. So is this when we really see the start of the golden era of Detroit-Windsor Ferry Service?
I would say definitely. I mean, it's been pretty strong, as we mentioned, since the very beginning. The borders between the U.S. and Canada, or Detroit and Windsor, have always been a lot more porous than they are now. But I would say post-1812, the 1830s, with the opening of the Erie Canal system as well, all of a sudden we have this opportunity for people to make money getting folks back and forth. The very first steam ferry that existed here was just a few years after the first steamboat in the Great Lakes. It was the Argo, and that was in 1830. So it was a steam ferry, but it was really, they had two steam engines across from each other that floated on the water that were strapped to canoes. So it was essentially like a catamaran.
It
was canoe with an engine, and a big board across the two of them.
And all across
and
they
that
go.
And that was the first commercial steam ferry in Detroit, yeah.
And before that, Mark, we were looking at paddle, and did we ever use wind? Did we ever see wind?
Well, I didn't find an account of wind. It's not a great option when you're doing straight-line ferry service. It's just not dependable, so it doesn't mean somebody didn't try it. I just didn't find a written account of it. But so paddle, and then, as Mickey said, steam became the reliable source.
And Mickey, as the years progressed, the Walkerville Ferry started operating in the 1880s. And then by the 1920s, those ferries were moving a little more than passengers, weren't they?
Oh, they were. They definitely moved plenty of passengers. It became imperative for Detroit drinkers to head over to Windsor for the afternoon or evening after Prohibition started in 1918 in Michigan. So the Walkerville Ferry became incredibly popular and incredibly important. 1928, during the height of Prohibition, just before the Depression started, the ferry ran 24 hours a day over the 4th of July weekend for four straight days. In 1929, it took over 100,000 passengers in one day. So, I mean, extremely popular, and a lot of folks came back a little bit heavier than they left.
and lighter in money, and the Windsor bar keeps were probably very happy with all of that.
Well, and Walkerville's named after Hiram Walker,
a notable
whiskey producer, so that all makes sense.
It sure does.
Sure.
So, Mark, just a few years after Prohibition came to an end, on this date in 1938. The last passenger ferry ran between Windsor and Detroit. So how did people mark the occasion, and what caused the demise of the passenger ferries on the Detroit River?
Well, the newspapers reported that an estimated 30,000 passengers crowded on to get one last ride on the Windsor ferry's last day of operation. So they marked it by trying to get one last ride on one of the two ferries running that route, the LaSalle and the Cadillac. As far as the demise of the operations, you can probably attribute it to two things in general: the opening of the Ambassador Bridge in 1929 and then the Detroit-Windsor Tunnel in 1930 that really cut into that ferry service and didn't really make it a viable option going forward. I think, and while this is the last date for that particular ferry service, there's all sorts of asterisks that people would probably be raising their hand right now as we speak, saying, wait, was the Walkerville ferry that ran till 42, and there was the Belle Isle and later the Boblo, and then also we still have ferry service going to Harson's Island. So
okay, be still my heart. Don't even say Boblo. Our hearts are also broken over the St. Clair.
I know.
Oh, so many happy memories if you grew up in Detroit. That's a whole nother topic. Mickey, do you ever see a chance a passenger ferry service could return in the 21st century?
I would love to see that. It's complicated, I would say, because we are such a large international border is really the problem. As Mark was saying, you know, the bridge and the tunnel sort of spelled the demise of the transportation by boat across the river. I find it kind of ironic that in 1930, with the opening of the Windsor Tunnel, the Detroit and Walkerville Ferry Company took out a newspaper ad congratulating them.
Oops.
I know. In retrospect. I would say it's tough because of customs, because of Homeland Security. It can be difficult. And also, you know, it's a large commercial and navigational channel. So there's a lot of boats that go up and down that channel. So getting something across regularly might be a little trickier than we think.
But I bet people listening, hands up, who would not love to see a way, if you're on a bicycle or you're a pedestrian, to be able to go back and forth between Detroit and Windsor and do it that easily? Maybe not in the wintertime, but boy, I could see that as a really rich addition to our warm weather offerings on the river.
It works for Mackinac Island. I mean, who doesn't like taking the ferry over to the island? I realize it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but we are Michiganders. We love water. Why not?
And with bicycling such a big deal, that would be such an easy way to be able to make that happen, which it's not right now.
Yeah. It's been something we've been thinking about for a while, too. In the 80s, I think the late 80s, the city planner of Detroit suggested it and said, I want this to happen. I want there to be a 3-times-a-day ferry from the United States over to Windsor. And it just, for the same reasons, just never quite happened.
Well, and I don't think you can look at the tunnel bus as sort of the bellwether of whether it would work or not, because clearly that's a different experience.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Clearly, indeed. Well, something to keep our eye on, and perhaps some entrepreneurial spirit is listening to us talk right now, and we're planting the seeds of an idea. Detroit historian and blogger Mickey Lyons and state archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. Thanks to both of you for helping us mark this 80th anniversary of the last passenger ferry to traverse the Straits of Detroit officially. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.